This call is being recorded.
Good morning. Welcome to Declare Victory. Has anyone else joined the call this morning?
Morning, Susie. It's Deborah Evans. Good morning.
Good morning, Deborah Evans.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
I'm good. And yourself?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good, good.
Has anyone else joined the call? Where are you living now, Deborah?
We live in Temecula, California.
Still there, huh?
Yeah. We'll probably be here a while until she decides what college she's going to go to.
Good morning. Welcome to Declare Victory. This is Susie, who just joined the call. Oh, we're glad you joined us this morning. Has anyone else joined the call that would like to say good morning? Has anyone else joined the call? Good morning. Welcome to Declare Victory. This is Susie. Has anyone else joined the call this morning? Anyone else like to say good morning? Excuse me. Has anyone else joined the call that would like to say good morning?
Good morning. My name is Yvonne.
Good morning, Sister Yvonne. God bless you. You're a wonderful woman. Anyone else join the call that would like to say good morning? Good morning. Welcome to Declare Victory. This is Susie. Has anyone else joined the call?
Good morning, Susie. Good morning, family. It's Miss D.
Good morning, Miss D. Anyone else like to say good morning?
Good morning, this is Yvette.
Good morning, Yvette. Anyone else like to say good morning? Good morning. Welcome to Declare Victory. Has anyone else joined the call? Anyone else like to say good morning? Good morning. Welcome to Declare Victory. Anyone else like to say good morning?
Good morning, Susie. This is James.
Good morning, James. Anyone else like to say good morning? Good morning. Welcome to Declare Victory. Has anyone else joined the call?
Good morning. It's Diane.
Good morning, Diane.
Good morning, Susie. Can you hear me clearly?
I sure can.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Anyone else like to say good morning? Good morning. Welcome to Declare Victory. This is Susie. Has anyone else joined the call? Anyone else like to say good morning?
Good morning, it's Sister Tracy. Happy Thursday, everyone.
Good morning, Sister Tracy. Happy Thursday to you as well. Anyone else like to say good morning? Good morning. Welcome to Declare Victory. Has anyone else joined the call? Has anyone else joined the call that would like to say good morning? Okay, well, before we move forward, we ask that you please mute your line so that we can proceed. And good morning again. My name is Susie Romack, and I am your hostess this morning. Thank you for joining us here on Declare Victory. We are a prayer call that meets Monday through Saturday, starting at 6 o'clock a.m. Pacific time to edify, empower, encourage, and equip you in your walk with Christ. Please feel free to invite a friend so they can be blessed too. We are in a season of harvest. The theme for November is Grow. Are you growing in Christ? Be sure to tune in daily to hear what the Lord would have us understand about the importance of growing in and through Him. You don't want to miss the teachings, stories, and lessons that the Declarers are preparing as they hear from God for His people this month. We do have one announcement today. Thank you all who have made a decision to partner with Declare Victory in growing and giving. Your contributions are assisting us to maintain the call systems as well as provide food for homeless college students, buying books and supplies, and emergency assistance for individuals and family in crisis. We pray that your seed is multiplied in excess. Also, it is now open enrollment for giving contributions. See your HR at your employment for the necessary forms for your employer to donate. There were no prayer requests submitted on the app. The order of the call is the declaration will be by Tanya. Praying and corporate praise will be done by Diane. Then we will go right into the closing comments hosted by the declarer, Tanya. And I'll repeat that. The declaration will be by Tanya. Praying and corporate praise will be done by Diane. Then we will go right into closing comments hosted by the declarer, Tanya. At this time, we ask you put your phones on mute until instructed to come off mute. We will have a wonderful and blessed day. I now pass the call to the declarer for today, Tanya.
Good morning, Susie. Thank you very much.
You are so welcome.
Amen. Thank you again for everyone for joining us for the Breakfast with Champions. Do me a favor. I hear a little background noise. If you could double, triple, quadruple check your phones just to make sure that you are muted. That will be absolutely fantastic. Thank you. If I had to give my declaration a title, I would say that it is Milk Does the Body Good. Milk does the body good. Do y'all remember that commercial? Sometimes it would be in magazine advertisements or even on television, somebody would have a milk mustache, and the title, I don't know what you call it, the tagline or whatever, would be "Got milk?" with a question mark. Anyway, if you have your Bibles or your Bible app ready and handy, my foundational scripture is going to be 1 Peter 2 and 2. 1 Peter 2 and 2. Y'all ready? Let's get started. Father, we thank you and praise you for this opportunity to share the word that you've given me. I pray, God, that it will bless every person under the sound of my voice, whether they are listening in real time or listening to the recorded podcast. We pray that your will be done this morning. In Jesus' name, thank God, amen. Sissy Hughes was so hurt by Mother Johnson's harsh criticism in front of the planning committee that she turned beet red. But to add insult to injury, she concluded with a completely unnecessary attack by stating that she, Sissy, needed to put her big girl panties on and grow up. That was it. Sissy politely gathered her things and walked briskly to her car. Once she was safely in her vehicle, she burst into tears and vowed never to return. Meanwhile, her fiancé, Ben, concluded his meeting with the pastor, senior pastor, Charles Lovelace, of the Church of Love Must Not Offend People, which they referred to as Elemental P. Ben believed the meeting would be challenging because Lovelace led with control, but he didn't think it would go completely to the left as it did. Ben tried desperately to assure the pastor that his leading was not personal, but that he and Cece believed it was best for them to worship at a church closer to their home, to the home that they were in the process of purchasing, because it would cut down on their commute time considerably. However, Lovelace was not buying it. He was making it all about him. He attacked Ben's very well thought out resignation letter and turned it into something that it was not. He couldn't believe that Lovelace was making the resignation about money. What? Who does that? Like, where does that come from? How do you twist up somebody's words like that? Loveless completely missed the part about Ben's mandatory overtime, his, you know, this crazy work schedule, which caused him to miss the men's Bible study so frequently that he decided to step down as the lead instructor 6 months ago. And he was very often late for Sunday morning service because of his commute and, again, that mandatory overtime. How could Loveless miss that? Like, it didn't make any sense. The straw that broke the camel's back was when Loveless accused him, Ben, of being spiritually stunted. But by this time, Loveless was literally yelling at Ben, spewing venom about how he and Sissy were going to fail, they wouldn't grow at another church, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It was as if Loveless was having a verbal temper tantrum. And then it dawned on him. Ben finally realized Loveless was angry because Ben was one of his primary financial supporters, and leaving the ministry was going to significantly impact Loveless's salary, to be honest. Ben decided that enough was enough. He refused to sit across from a man that had temper tantrums. Just as Ben was about to walk out of the office, there was a knock on the door, preceded by Deacons Busybody and Spineless entering the room to ensure that everything was all right. Where in the world did they come from? Were they sitting out there the whole time? Ben thought to himself. That became the perfect exit for Ben. Y'all remember that scripture that God won't allow us to suffer more than we can bear, and he'll make an escape for us? That was Ben's escape, and he took it. Anyway, he didn't know, you know, who he didn't know, like, as he thought, as he was walking out of the building, who he didn't know who that was that had a complete meltdown. But as far as he was concerned, the conversation was over. Loveless didn't realize it, but he just confirmed Ben's decision to leave. Like, if he had any doubts before, he didn't now. He was completely free and clear about the decision that he made. He knew, he had known for years that something was off, but he didn't realize Loveless was as spiritually immature as he was. Ben and Sissy met at the florist shop as planned to make a final payment on the floral arrangements for the wedding. Ben was a milk chocolate 5'10", muscular man who was crazy in love with his fiancée, Sissy, a light-skinned, petite woman of 4'10". Sissy had been small all her life as a result of fetal alcohol syndrome and neglect. Her mother, Crystal, breastfed her, but her milk was insufficient. She didn't have the capacity to keep her body. And on top of that, she didn't have the capacity to keep her body or home clean. Sissy was the youngest of five children, all of whom had different fathers and were wards of the court. When Sissy's paternal aunt, Reba, a social worker with San Francisco County, finally found Sissy, she was so weak and tiny, they feared she wouldn't make it. The pediatrician that treated Sissy was pessimistic about her survival, stating it was one of the worst cases of severe neglect and alcohol fetal syndrome that he had seen. It was remarkable to him that when Crystal gave birth to Sissy, that the hospital did not intervene and take Sissy out of the custody of her mother. It was some type of flaw. He didn't know what it was, but he was completely livid. At best, his prognosis was that Sissy's growth would be greatly stunted with severe developmental disabilities. And at worst case, she would die because the malnutrition was so acute. Sissy's paternal family listened to the doctor's prognosis, but refused to accept it. They weren't in denial that she was tiny that she was frail, but they refused to accept his diagnosis. Reba took Sissy home, and the extended family prayed around the clock over her day and night. They spoke words of life to her. They reminded her that she was fearfully and wonderfully made. And they told her that God had specific work for her to do. They told her that she was beautiful. They told her that she was loved. And this is a tiny infant who did not understand what they were saying, but her little body seemed to respond. Sometimes she would smile spontaneously as they spoke words of life into this little bitty beautiful baby. Sometimes they there were times when they would just hug her and they would caress her, not too hard, but because she was so frail. But they would rub her head as they spoke words of life to her. Sometimes Grandma, as she spoke words of life to her and prayed in her heavenly language over that baby. Oh, it seemed as if little Sissy had it impacted her. Sometimes she would shudder. Sometimes she would open her little eyes and look right up into Grandma, and they made a spiritual connection, a bond that could not be broken. On top of that, Grandma created some old school concoctions that they added to her milk formula to fatten her up. And 30 years later, Sissy was now the supervisor of Child Protective Services. The only noticeable challenge that was that the only noticeable health challenge was her stunted growth, if you want to call it that. It caused her to be petite. Though she could eat whatever she wanted, whenever she wanted, and never gained a pound. I can't stand people like that. I don't know about you, but I can't stand people like that. At any rate, Sissy tried desperately to pretend she was okay, but hiding behind her shades was a dead giveaway because she never did that. When she finally took her shades off, Ben's suspicions were confirmed by her red and slightly puffy eyes. Excuse me. He decided to wait until they completed their business transaction with the florist before probing her. After they ordered their meals for dinner, she finally shared her experience with Mother Johnson, and he shared his experience with Loveless, Busybody, and Cream Puff. They both concluded that they were not the ones that were spiritually stunted or spiritually malnourished, and believed Ben's decision was confirmation that they would be a part of the MoveOn.org campaign, because they had been talking about their level of frustration with both ministries for months now. They only stayed out of obligation, but it was clear that if they didn't make a move soon, they too would become spiritually malnourished. I looked up the word malnutrition online, and it defined it as a lack of proper nutrition caused by not having enough to eat, not eating enough of the right things, or being unable to use the food that one does eat. Well, I may have misspoken earlier about stunted growth being, I won't even go there. Let me just say this. Malnutrition can be caused by eating disorders such as bulimia. If you don't know what that means, my layman's definition is one who purges themselves. They might eat food. You might see them eating, and they hide it, and then they purge themselves. They cause themselves to throw up. I think that's the definition. We could talk about it later. Somebody got it right. Anorexia, a person sees themselves as fat. No matter how much they weigh, they could in their mind, they believe that they're fat, and so they don't eat, or they eat very little, to the degree that they become super thin. And then there's another form of malnutrition that can be caused by addiction. For example, one may lose their appetite. Their appetite may be suppressed because of the drugs of choice that they use, and so they begin to lose weight. It doesn't happen like that with everybody, but that is a symptom, or that is one of the ways that nutrition, malnutrition can set in. Severe depression can also impact one's ability to eat. Again, not in every case, but loss of appetite because one is severely depressed can also cause them to be malnourished. Now, there are times when people can also eat, but they're eating the wrong foods. They're eating perhaps junk foods. They're eating, you might think that junk foods would cause people to gain weight. Well, they can gain weight, but it would not be necessarily healthy weight. And so the body is malnourished. It does not have the vitamins and the nutrients that it needs in order to operate at optimum level. According to U.S. statistics, there are over 200 cases of malnutrition reported annually. Let me say it again. Over 200 cases of malnutrition reported annually. That doesn't speak to the cases that are not reported. Think about it. Malnutrition is so prevalent in the U.S. that food programs like WIC, Women, Infants, and Children, a federal or state program was developed to ensure proper nutrition for mothers and their children. Because a mother who is not eating properly, and I'm sure you guys probably know that, but some people may not. If the mother, the pregnant woman, is not eating correctly, she can cause the fetus, the baby in her womb, to be malnourished. And so programs like WIC were created to help those individuals that are economically challenged. We might call it poor. SNAP, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, is another federally funded program that provides nutritional food to individuals, again, that are economically challenged. It used to be referred to as food stamps, but it allows families and individuals to purchase groceries with an EBT card, electronic benefits card, that they can use pretty much anywhere where you can use a credit or a debit card. It can, a supermarket, a place like Walmart or Kmart, those kind of places, or Walmart, or even Walgreens, where they have more nutritional food available for people. The National School Lunch Program, NSLP, is also a federally assisted meal program available to public and nonprofit private schools and residential child care institutions. The NSLP provides nutritionally balanced, low-cost, or free lunches to children each school day, provided their parents meet the limited income criteria. But can we park there for a minute? Because I know you might be wondering, what does this really have to do with, spiritual growth? Well, I'm gonna tie it all together. I just need you to hold on for a minute. I wanna drive this point home about malnutrition. I really, really want to drill down a bit about that. I find it fascinating that one of the richest countries in the world, the United States, malnutrition is so prevalent that they've created federal programs that date back as far as 1946, when President Harry Truman created the National School Lunch Program, or POFO. I said economically challenged, but let's just keep it 100. Poor folks don't have enough money for food. And while you might think, well, if they get these free lunches and if they get, the SNAP or CalFresh or whatever you want to call it, if they have these things, why don't they have enough money? Generally speaking, the ratio, the household income ratio that is used for public aid is so low and it's so outdated. That doesn't even take into consideration the cost of living, the cost of food, the cost of healthy, nutritious food, that there's not enough money at the end of the month or at the end of their benefit period, their monthly benefit period, to carry them over from month to month. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. I only know this from experience when I had to end up being, you know, applying for these benefits because, you know, of our financial situation, you know, loss of two incomes in our household, and we were forced to get used CalFresh, and it literally helped us out. But when you look at the dollar amount compared to how expensive food is today, healthy food, now you could buy junk. You can go and buy sodas and chips and that type of thing, but again, it's not a healthy, balanced diet and can actually usher in malnutrition. So again, today, in 2018, we're on the cusp of transitioning to 2019. Malnutrition is still an issue. But that's not necessarily my focus either. I don't want to fall. I just wanted to drill down today. My focus really is stunted growth, the impact of malnutrition. Now, it can be caused by several reasons. Malnutrition can be caused by several reasons. I found this fascinating, too, in my research. Malnutrition can be caused as a result of drug use, a lack of sanitation, like you're just nasty, your house is nasty and you're nasty, right? Diarrhea, disease, and genetic makeup can all contribute to malnutrition. Though each of these reasons are significant, I really want to zero in on stunted growth as it pertains to malnutrition. For some reason, I'm stuck there. It's hard for me to digest the fact, and the pun is intended, that people can starve to death with so many resources available to them. Right here in the United States. I'm not talking about a third world country. I'm talking about right here in the United States. Right here in your local hood. If you live in a different state other than California, you got one. Y'all got a local hood. But just as we need a balanced diet to avoid malnutrition, which may lead to stunted growth and a plethora of health challenges up to and including death, we need spiritual nutrition to avoid similar symptoms. Huh? What do you mean by that, Tanya? How could I possibly experience stunted growth, dis-ease, or spiritual death if I go to church every Sunday and I'm faithful on the, you know, to the different or various committees that I'm a part of, the planning committee, the social committee, the fellowship committee, the meal committee, whatever. And I listen to and or participate on Declare Victory Daily. I'm glad you asked. Let's go to work. Lou Holtz, former football player, head coach, and sports analyst, said, "In this world, you're either growing or you're dying. So get in motion and grow." But Peter, the radical follower of Jesus Christ, who said whatever came to his mind, would ride like faux flats, including cutting off the ear of a soldier who attempted to come at Jesus the wrong way, and cussed the people out that accused him of being Jesus' follower, grew up. When he grew up, was filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit on that very day, led 3,000 souls to Christ, said, "Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it, you may grow up in your salvation." That's 1 Peter 2:2, the NIV version. But what I want to do is I want to take a look at the entire chapter of 1 Peter 2. Because if you want to, and I want to dissect it over these next few minutes, because if you want to know how you can avoid spiritual malnutrition, I'm going to give you some of those answers today. It reads like this: "Therefore, rid yourself of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. now that you have tasted the Lord, that the Lord is good. So I'm going to stop there, and I'm going to say to you that suggests that in order to grow up spiritually, Peter is advising us to crave pure spiritual milk. Anything that is, and he uses examples like malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander as ways how we can become and remain spiritually immature. That means that if you take your focus off of the spiritual milk and you begin to indulge in unhealthy nutrients like deceit and hypocrisy and so on and so forth, though you may have been spiritually healthy, you can become spiritually malnourished if you focus on these negative character traits and practices, as Peter pointed out. Moving on to verse 4, as you come to him, being Jesus, the living stone, who was rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into spiritual houses to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall." What does all that mean? Well, if we go back to the very beginning there, that first verse is referring to Jesus Christ, who is our foundation. Jesus Christ is our foundation, and he is our foundation through God himself. But that the scripture goes on to compare us and call us living stones. And then it goes on to call us, say that we are like a holy priesthood. We have to be careful about what we ingest. We have to be careful about what we read. We have to be careful about how we conduct ourselves. Please put your phone on mute. Thank you very much. And it goes on to say that that a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. See, if we're not careful, we can cause people to stumble. Which is why we have to be careful about how we live our lives. We're living epistles. People are watching us. They're listening to us, whether you realize it or not. Just like Brother Deacon Busybody and Deacon Cream Puff, who were standing outside of Pastor Loveless's door as Ben was having a personal conversation with him about what he needed to do in his own life, what he believed that God was calling him to do. But they were listening. They were eavesdropping. Well, there are people who are listening or watching you. You may not even be aware of it. The scripture goes on to talk about how we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We are God's special possession. And it's our responsibility to declare praises to him, because he called us out of darkness into this marvelous light. That's one of the ways that we remain spiritually fed. Once upon a time, we were people that were not following the scripture, that were not being spiritually fed, but today we are. And God charges us not to follow after the same desires, the same passions as the scripture calls them pagans. I'm not going to call them a pagan society, but that's what the word says. I'm just going to call them, those are unbelievers. And instead, he urges us to abstain from sinful desires, which wage war against our souls. That's why sometimes it's a little bit of a challenge for you to to pray or to fast or to read your word. There's this spiritual war that's going on the inside that's challenging you not to do it. That's telling not just you, but me, you don't need to do that. You don't need, you can get by with not reading it today. In other words, you can get by with not eating your word today. Right? Because the word is our spiritual food. You can get by, you got mad. You could take your salvation off for a minute and cuss them out. You could take your salvation off for a minute and knock her upside her head. You could take your spirituality off and tell that sister off. You don't have to cuss at her, but you could let her have it. No, ma'am, no, sir. No, ma'am, no, sir. We don't get to do that. We don't get to take salvation off and on like it's a change of clothes. God is calling us to a higher calling, a higher position. If you have been doing that, leave it alone. Don't go back to it. This is not a condemning message. As I get ready to transition, Diane, get ready. This is not a condemning message. This is a message that comes to enlighten you and to let you know that it's time to grow up. Put your spiritual panties on and your spiritual drawers on and grow up. Stop being so sensitive. You can make a choice to stop being so sensitive. Somebody talked about you and they hurt your feelings. So what? Get over it. Just because they said it don't mean that it's true. What they eat don't make you fat. Did it sting? Yeah. But get over it. Remind yourself of how great you are. Remind yourself that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, that you're not an accident, that you are of a royal priesthood. They literally, this is not a cliche. They talked about Jesus. They accused Jesus. They beat him all night long. They crucified him on the cross. Nobody is doing that to you. Nobody is doing that to you. You can't take somebody talking about you. Is there any truth to what they're saying? Maybe there is some truth to what they're saying. Examine it. If it's not, listen. Let it fall on deaf ears. Remove yourself from their circles and make a decision that you will not allow yourself to get sucked into their trap, sucked into their accusations. Listen, Satan is an accuser of the brethren. That's the word. I'm going to stop here, y'all, and we can pick it up at Love, Life, and Victory. Diane is in your hands.
Oh, Sovereign God, I thank you for that word this morning. God, you who sits high and look low, God, I thank you that you have come to make our crooked path straight. So, Father God, I bless your name this morning. I give you praise, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for breath in my body this morning. I thank you for Declare Victory family, Lord God. I thank you for that awesome word that Tanya taught this morning. God, according to Philippians 4:9, you said that which we have learned, that which we have heard, that which we have believed, that which we have seen, to practice it. Lord, how else will we grow in your word except we get in your word? We practice it in our life. Life application is the most important thing of your word, that we may get it. So God, I praise you this morning, for you are the sovereign God. God, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for Dee Dee and her mother, Doris, Lord God, as they travel. God, I thank you for letting me come before you, approaching your throne of grace with boldness, Lord God, to intercede on behalf of Dee Dee and Doris as they travel today. God, I pray that you give them traveling grace and mercy, that they reach their destination safe, Lord God. You said in your word that we shall live and not die. God, I decree and declare safety over them today. Oh, bless the name of the Lord, for he is my strong tower. God, I thank you that you are our refuge this morning. I thank you that you are a hiding place. So, God, I bless your name today, all the unspoken prayer requests. But, God, you know what they are. You know everything. You said there's nothing in our life that's hidden from you, that everything about us from the inside out is laid open, naked, bare before you.
God, I thank you for your word this morning. Hebrews 4:12. You said, Lord God, that your word is sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting, even piercing the soul, the joint, and marrow. Oh, God, all those things in us that are not like you. God, I pray this morning that you cut them away, Lord God. That you cut everything out of our life that's not pleasing unto you. Anything in us, in our core being, Lord God, that is hostile towards you, or bring a stench to your nostril. God, we ask that you remove it this morning. God, that we can hear you better. Lord God, according to Ephesians 1:17, Lord God, you said that we want to know you better, God, to get to know you better, Lord God. We keep seeking you. We keep bowing before you. We keep studying your word and applying it to our life and walking out in our soul salvation. God, we have this desire down on the inside of me, Lord God, to know you better, to walk better, to live better, Lord God, that I may mirror you. You said that I was created in your image, oh God. Each of us was created uniquely, Lord God, and I praise you this morning. The way that we look more like you is to walk out your word in our lives, put it to practice, that when people look at us, they will know that we belong to you. Something different about that person. Why are they smiling so? Why are their countenance so bright? God, I thank you this morning for your holy scripture. I thank you, Lord God, for all of that that you placed on this call, all the talent, all the teaching, all the knowledge, all the experience. God, I thank you. You said that we are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Let us tell somebody about you, Jesus, about how great you are, how great your love is. God, I thank you this morning that you have me practicing what you taught me, what I heard, what I read. God, I thank you this morning for your unconditional love. So, God, I praise you for the call this morning as we take our phones off of mute and praise you, Lord God, for you, he who knew no sin, became sin, that we may become the righteousness of you, oh God.
Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Meditate on you, Lord. Keep the word, hide the word in our hearts, Lord. Lord, may we grow and grow abundantly in your word. May you nourish us, Lord. May you keep us, Lord. May you refresh and restore us, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Forgive us for the times we fall short. Forgive us for the times we fail. Oh, Lord God, I just bless your name this morning, Lord. Lord, you know I need you. I need you. I need you. I need you. I need you, Lord God. I just bless you for the name, Lord Jesus. Lord God, everything is possible, Lord God. So I just thank you right now in the magnificent name of your Son, that died for you, Lord God, that suffered for you, Lord God. That was for me, Lord God. That blessed me, Lord God. That was raised for me, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. I call upon you right now. Come into this place, Holy Spirit. Move among us, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God. Praise your name this morning, Lord God. We bless your name this morning, Lord God. Bless your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Mighty and strong you are. You are my shield, Lord God. You help me fight against the Lord God, you cover me, Lord God. You protect me, Lord God. I am grateful. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God, for being my refuge, Lord. A strong power, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, for your word says so. We believe in you, Lord God. We believe in you, Lord God. We doubt not, Lord God. You will hear our prayers, Lord God. We see your word says that we can do anything with you, Lord God. And everything works according to your will. trust you. Lord God, for your good, for your grace, for your glory, Lord Jesus. Lord, hear your people right now. Hear your people right now. In the name of
Jesus. Lord God,
I pray for my sponsor, my husband, Lord God, my sister, Lord God, those who are sick, Lord God, David and Simon, Lord God. I pray for Cecile, Lord God. Baby Vanessa, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Taiwan, Lord God. Lord God, heal them in the name of Jesus. Lord God, thank you for another healthy day, Lord God. Thank you for another bountiful day, Lord God. Lord, go before us, Lord God, and allow us to touch you, Lord God. Help us not to forget who you are and who we are in the name of Jesus. So I bless your name this morning, Lord God. I am grateful to you, Lord God. I pray for JR, Lord God, that you would touch him in a mighty, mighty, mighty way, Lord God. Touch his heart, Lord God. I pray for my sister, Lord God. Touch her heart, Lord God. In the name of Jesus. Turn him around, Lord God, as only you can, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Make us willing, Lord God. Lead us into submission, Lord God, of your word, Lord God. Make us willing, Lord God. We want to give our will to you, Lord God. But make the unwilling willing, Lord God. Help them to know the good news of your son, Jesus Christ. All these things I pray to match the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
You are the
for your garment of praise.
You are worthy. You are
worthy, Lord God. You are worthy. Oh, bless the name of the Lord, for he is my strong tower. You are my strong tower, God. You are my refuge. I can run to you, Lord God, when trouble arises, when things arise. God, I thank you this morning. Oh, bless your name, Lord God. I give you praise this morning. I thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
In the name of Jesus, I give you praise.
Amen.
I thank you for this time of prayer. God, I bless your name, for you are holy, God. Holy, God. You are holy. Oh, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. Thank you, Lord. As I pass the call back to the host.
Thank you. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much, Diane. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank God we love you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 God is awesome, you all. I love God. I love me some Jesus. Before we get started, I just want to open the call up in the event that there might have been somebody that joined the call late and they weren't able to, two things. You weren't able to say good morning. But secondly, if this is your very first time calling or you've been calling for a while, you've just not been able to speak or say good morning, or you just haven't felt comfortable, but this morning you're ready to say good morning. I want to open it up to any new folks first or first time individuals greeting us. If not, going once, going twice. If not, if there's anybody else who joined us late and they didn't get a chance to say good morning and you'd like to, now is your opportunity.
Good morning, it's Juliet.
Hey, Juju.
Hey.
Hey, good morning, Sister Carolyn. Dee Dee.
Good morning.
Hey, Dee Dee and Sister Carolyn, I think I heard.
Yes, good morning.
Yo, yo, yo. Good morning, fam.
Hey, Brother
E.
Good morning, hey. Cindy.
Hallelujah. Good morning, Victory family. God bless you all this morning.
Good morning, yeah. Lady Cindy, and good morning, Brother Jeff. Anybody else?
Good morning, it's Debbie.
Hey, Debbie.
Good morning, Sylvia.
Sylvia, and I heard one other person. Somebody, I need you to go ahead and mute if you've already spoken. The person tried to say her name again, but I couldn't hear because of the background noise. You want to say it one more time?
Tina. Good morning.
Tina. Hey, Tina.
Good morning.
Talk off. Good morning. I'm sorry, I cut you off. Who was that?
Dondria. Good morning.
Hey, Dondria. Do I hear a smile in your voice this morning?
Amen, amen.
That's awesome. Awesome.
Good morning. It's Kenya.
Hey, Kenya. How you doing, gorgeous?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. I believe Colin is on the phone, but may not be willing.
He's eating.
To, maybe a little bit. Huh?
Said Colin is eating.
He's eating? Okay. All right. Anybody else?
Good morning. It's Keith.
Hey, Keith. How you doing?
All right. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. I'm happy to be alive, you guys. I didn't have a traumatic event where I almost lost my life. Things are not, you know, we had some challenges this week with my parents, but, you know, it is what it is, and I am who I am, and I'm just happy to be alive this morning, and I feel privileged to be able to, sorry about the background noise, that's me. I feel privileged to be able to share with you guys. I just thank God for the opportunity. Before we start to go down the road of the, you know, there are some retarded people that are on this line. You know, they just are absolutely just need some medication some benefits, maybe able to get some benefits. At any rate, thank you, Aisha. I knew I was saying it wrong. That statement, that commercial statement, milk does a body good, got milk. That's what it was. I knew it was more to it, but all I could remember is the white mustache and the milk and the question mark. At any rate. But you guys, y'all are some special folks. We all special up at, you know, 5:30 and 6 o'clock in the morning trying to hear the word of God because we want something. Some of us want to grow. Some of us are just, you know, I don't know, other reasons that people might be on a call at 6 o'clock in the morning. But it's absolutely one of the ways that we can grow. Before we go a little deeper into the word, were there any, did anybody have an God moment? Some people call it an aha moment, or you had a question or something along those lines.
It's Didi Tan. I'll jump off. If y'all could deal with my babies. They leaving. They don't want their cocoa to leave, but she leaving. Anyway, that spiritual stunt stuff, that stunt in your growth and how you use the analogy of Pastor Loveless. Oh, I loved it. I loved it. Because if we are not careful, we can sit somewhere just like the couple and be stagnant for years. They were there. I think you said they had been contemplating for months. As if it was the right ministry for them. And so that just really, that did a lot for me because just growing up, and no shade, I don't ever want to shade my foundation, but when you grow, you know, when you get your nutrients up and you go from the formula or the breast milk or whatever to real meat and milk, and you understand the word a little bit better and you grow up spiritually, then you're more able to see how Pastor Loveless and that whole ministry was really just kind of like in a spiritual sleep, if you would. They're just not really growing, but some people can't see it if they don't really know the word. So that's what I got out of this morning, to really get into the word, know the word, so that you're not sitting in an unhealthy place where you're not growing. Because if you don't grow, what do? You die. So thank you, sis. And I just wanted to say I love you and thank you for always your storytelling. It just amazes me. And I'm just so grateful that you are my big sister. And I love you. And so I will talk to you on the other side of this.
Okay, Dee Dee. Thank you. Anybody else?
Hey, Tanya, this is Juliet.
Hey, Juliet.
Yeah, as I was listening to you, especially you talking about, you know, nutrition as far as, you know, being malnourished, I was just thinking, you know, how you said we should be eating spiritually. And I was thinking that, you know, we're always eating something spiritually, whether it be good food or bad food, you know. And the bad foods are things we were talking about, like the things that we're watching on TV, things we're listening to, you know. And it's important that we make sure that, you know, we're eating, that, but that we're eating the right things every day to build this, you know, so that we don't find ourselves being malnutrition, because you can eat all the time, but it doesn't mean you're eating the right foods. That's what I thought about.
Correct. Yeah, absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Thank you, Juju. Anybody else?
Tanya, this is Diane. I just want to thank you for that word, because one of the scriptures is that I have been studying, that Ephesians 1:17, to know God better, we have to keep seeking Him. We have to keep putting that word to practice, not just reading it, not just hearing it on Sunday, but we have to put some feet to it and start walking it out in our lives, putting that word into practice in order to look more like Christ. He said He created us in His image, and in order to look like Him, to do what He says do, to do what He did, to follow Him, if we say we're followers of Him, we have to do what He did. We have to look and see what He said. We have to talk like Him. We have to move like Him. We have to go and minister like Him. If we are going to look like Him, we have to imitate Him, to do everything that He did, to look like Him, to know Him better. The only way we can know Him better is to walk in that word, to practice it, life application. Don't just talk about it, but start to live it. Start to change your ways. Let the word cut away those things in you that's not like Him, that we can look more like Him, that we can walk like Him, that we can talk like Him, because we're created in His image. So we're supposed to look like Him from the inside out, not just on the outside. Let the inside, that word meditating, and the inside, and cut away those things that are not like Him on the inside. For me, I want to know Him better. I want to be deeper in Him. I want to know Him so much better that I can feel Him breathing on me. So we got to get that word in us and walk it out, live it, not just talk about it. Great decoration. I love you, sis.
Thank you, Diane. Thank you. I appreciate it. Here's a question that I have for you guys. How can you determine if you or someone else is spiritually immature? What are some telltale signs? Anybody?
Good morning, Sister Tanya.
Okay, good morning. Who is this?
How are you today? This is Geraldine.
Hey,
great
Geraldine.
Decoration this morning. Oh, my God. That was so wonderful. It was fortifying. And what the question that you asked is, how can you tell? Number one, a person that is spiritually not matured, they still are requiring PABA or milk products. They're still not really moving towards God's directions of it, where he wants you to be. And where he wants you to be. Also, he tells us that he would never leave us, nor will he forsake us. But spiritual growth is happening all over the world. I see it all the time, even in my place of worship, your place of worship. And so I'm just so grateful today that I have a nutritional program such as Declared Victory to come to each day to make sure. For 365 days, most of us are, well, with the exception of Sundays, are on this line. And it has been a great year. I thank you for helping me to mature to the place of where God is moving me to. I can't stay stagnant. And you're right. Sometimes we have to move. You have to move your membership sometimes. You got to move and be with a plant that, some of us have roots that are overgrown. And I'm so grateful today that on this morning, I was able to break out of that jar where the roots of my life had just overgrown. And I thank you for reminding us that people are watching us. And I had a situation where a person said something to me that was so devastating that it just really knocked the wind out of me. And, you know, as Christians, how do we handle it? Exactly as you said this morning. Be careful. It says be slow to speak and slow to anger. Be careful what's coming out of our mouths. So I pray that on this line we continue to develop and grow. Thank you so much, Sister Tanya, for always being on point. And your declarations are helping me so much. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you, Jerry. Thank you for your comment. I appreciate it, and I accept it with humility. Anybody else? How can you determine if you or someone is spiritually immature before we move on?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Brother Eric. I wanted to kind of piggyback on what Sister Geraldine had said, and I think that was great analogy that she used in terms of milk. When we think about immature, we think about children or we think about babies. One of the indicators is the inability to feed ourselves. You know, when a baby is wet, or especially when a baby is hungry, nothing else matters in the world to that baby. That baby will cry until that baby is fed, because the baby can't feed itself. And so we have a lot of be spiritually immature is to the point where you can't feed yourself, but you always want to be fed. And so, you know, this is why you have people that go to church faithfully every Sunday, but can't pick up a Bible or can't do a devotion or can't do a Bible study outside of that 1 hour or 2 hours. But when they need to be fed, they're constantly crying out. Another way is selfish. You know, a baby has to be taught, has to learn, has to come into the knowledge that it's okay to share your toys. It's okay to say this. Babies' first words are always mine, mine, mine. And so we have spiritually immature people that are like that too, that they're not able to share, who are self-centered. You know, so if you find yourself being self-centered, what is God doing for me? What are my blessings? What does it benefit me? And regardless of not having an attitude of service or ministry, that's also a sign of spiritual immaturity. An inability to stand on the word and to stand for principle. The Bible talks about a double-minded person is blown to and fro by the winds of doctrine. So spiritually immature is not knowing your basic fundamental doctrines and being able to stand on that. So those are some of the ways. I mean, I can keep going on, but I did like that. And I like the analogy of being milk, because as you know, a baby system can only has to grow in order to get meat. You can't feed a baby meat. This system can't do that. And so for me, becoming more mature and being able to eat on the meat is getting what I like to say past what we do. You know, we go to church, and we read the Bible, and the spiritual maturity is why. Why do we go to church? Why do we worship? Why do we study? And that's when we begin to teach people, and when people begin to learn the whys, is that and that's the indication of a person becoming more spiritually mature. Thank you. Great declaration. God bless.
Thank you, Eric. I really, really honed in on that last point that you made, the why. The why behind what we do makes the world of difference. Way back years ago when I was in network marketing, they told us that we needed to have a why as to the reason or the purpose for doing the business, doing the network marketing. One of our mentors said, and which was common for them, if your why is not big enough for you to cry, it's not big enough, you know. And it was at that point in my life where I started to ask myself questions about my life. Not necessarily, at first it started off being about the business. Why am I doing this business? What do I want? Because if it's just about money, they would say that's not enough to keep you in the game. It's not enough to keep you motivated to do the business. But when you think about your why, and with a bigger purpose, you know, and for some people it was their family. For some people it was that they wanted to, you know, create philanthropic opportunities and so on and so forth. But when we think about the why we go to church, if the reason is to go to church to please someone else, what happens when that person makes you angry or disappoints you or betrays you? If we're reading the Bible just because somebody told us we should, and they give us what scriptures we should read, what happens when they're not available to give that advice? You know, when can your why stand up on its own? In other words, does it have legs? Does it have foundation? If you're doing things just because people told you to do them, it's one thing for it to start out that way, but if it's still that same reason, like, you know, a year or two or 10 later, it's time to re-examine. Examine yourself, the scripture says. Examine yourself, and I'm paraphrasing, to ensure that you are in the faith, that you are in it, that is in you, right? Why do we go to church? Why do we study the Word of God? I don't go to church. For some people, it is about every single weekend, you know, they're hitting the store to go get a new outfit so that they can model, you know, or so they can hook up with some people. You know, it's a whole social event, not so much about the Word. And if they don't have a bunch of things to entertain them, you know, props and lively music and smoke and lights and mirrors and, you know, like it's a nursery. Think about this. Children need to be, especially the smaller they are, like your 2-year-old, your toddler, they need to be entertained all the time. Like, you got to be constantly doing something. Otherwise, you might find them getting into trouble or whining and, you know, this, that, and the other, right? So you always got to entertain them. If you always got to be entertained, if you can't, for me, in watching, one of the signs of spiritual maturity is that you can just take the Word straight. I don't mean from a monotone, boring person, like that would irritate me, but it doesn't take a whole bunch of extra. You can pay attention. You can be fully engaged to somebody that is standing flat-footed and teaching the Word of God, that person they don't have to be all animated or whatever. You can take nuggets from that. Now, very often for folks, they take notes, and, you know, as they're going along, for particular scriptures or phrases that really stand out to them, they seem to come alive to them. They jump out at them or whatever, and they're fully engaged. But if you got to be entertained in order to hear the Word of God, that could be a sign that you are not as mature as you should be. And there's some areas that you may want to consider on working on, right? And if you're in an environment where it's just
feel good messages. Like, so the gospel is not designed to make us feel good. The gospel is designed, the word of God is designed to help us to remain, to stay alive, to be conquerors and victorious and that kind of thing. You're not victorious just sitting down in a chair somewhere where somebody is spoon feeding you. Somebody is victorious because they've been in some kind of fight. And I don't necessarily mean a physical fight, but we are at war. We're at war against our inner man wanting to control our emotions, our appetite, so on and so forth. We're at war with the enemy who is trying to attack not so much the things that we have, but to attack our faith. And one of the ways that he attacks our faith is discovering what it is that is most valuable to us, and trying to take that from us or affect it some kind of way. So if it's your child, you know, you love your child, causing them to be ill or causing them to act out is a distraction to get you to the point where you lose faith and you begin to worry and take things in your hands. A spiritually mature Christian will very often be able to recognize that's a trick of the enemy. So like you might fall for it for a minute, like me, it might kind of throw me off for a minute, but then I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Oh, no, we're not doing that. I see you. And while there is a reality that something is happening that I don't care for, I have to figure out what spiritual weapon to use to combat that thing. Does this make sense to anybody? Anybody comment on that?
Amen. Yes, it does. Sister Tanya, good morning.
Good morning. This is November 1st. You get to talk.
Yes, amen. November 1st, 2018. And I'm excited about growing and being stretched this month. I really am. You know, one of the reasons why we, in that state of immaturity is lack of knowledge. You know, and you know, as I was listening to you use the analogy of the baby and the baby being nourished, you know, when we're in that infant stage, we have to have our mother's breast milk. You know, we just can't begin to digest, you know, meat and other solid foods. So it's a process in order for us to mature and grow physically, starting off from our mother's breast milk. And so I know for me, I like to use myself as an example. There was a time when, when I joined the prayer line, you know, sister gave a declaration on intercessory prayer, you know, and it expanded my knowledge on the power of prayer. And I know that I have grown spiritually in my prayer life since I've been connected with Declare Victory. But a few years back, I recognized an area where I was immature in my giving. And I was at a brotherhood meeting, and Bishop Clark, he was preaching, and he was ministering on, giving. You know, because if my tithes was 150, I might give the Lord 85, you know what I'm saying, or 75. I would never pay the whole thing. And, you know, I sat and I listened to that message, and I began to, something happened. I guess I grew up a little bit, and I began to pay my tithes, you know, because it's like, a sign of growth is when you able to practice obedience and following God's word. Was you actually doing what God says in his word? So I began to trust and just say, well, okay, I'm going to pay my tithes now. You know, my wife would be asking me, did you pay your tithes? You know, I know she was paying her tithes and I was reaping the benefits. you know what I'm saying, of her being mature in that area. And but when Bishop Clark preached that men's meeting, I began to pay my tithes at my church. And I knew at that time that I was, you know, I wasn't trusting God, you know, fully and totally. So I needed to grow in that area. So man, that's one of the areas where that we stay stunted in our growth is because of lack of knowledge. That will cause us to remain in that state of immaturity. But like you talked about the baby, they mix in the formula for the baby that would help the baby, you know, gain a little weight. The old school formula, the grandmother hooked up with the baby milk for the baby to grow healthy. And it's a process for Jeff to mature, you know what I'm saying? And I'm off the milk now. I can chew some steak now, you know, but it's just lack of knowledge is one of the reasons why we can stay stunted in our growth.
Thank you, Brother Jeff. Thank you. That was good. One of the key things that I took from your statement is about obedience. And I want to talk about that in just a little bit before, but I want to open it up, see if was there anybody else that wanted to comment before I go a little bit deeper.
Yes, Tanya. Good morning, Miss Debbie.
Hey, Debbie.
Thank you for your share this morning. I didn't get to hear the storytelling aspect, but this has been a really rich conversation. I just wanted to tap in briefly before Siri take over. A very wise man of God who's gone on to be with the Lord, Bishop Sherwood Carthen, said this: healthy things grow and growing things change. And that stuck with me until this day, and that was many, many years ago. And so for me, that means that in order to grow and be healthy, I have to be willing to change. And so that's all I wanted to contribute. Thank you.
Thank you, Debbie. I appreciate that. I like that. That's all. It's similar to Lou Holtz must have got his mantra from this individual, because his is very similar. When I think about spiritual maturity, I equate it with growing pains. And we know that growing can be painful. You know, like when a baby, for example, an infant is we call it cutting teeth, you know. They can experience, you know, the gums itch, they're painful, it's uncomfortable for them. You know, they can experience diarrhea, they don't really have an appetite, not to the degree where they become malnourished, but it's irritating to them, right? And so, excuse me, but it's necessary for them to go through that process in order for their teeth to begin to, you know, cut through the gums and, you know, so that they can begin to develop their teeth. And even though we know that they're not permanent teeth, they are their, you know, their childhood. I forget what the actual term is, but you know what I'm saying. They're going to lose them, and then they're going to get some real permanent one. And then they go through this ugly stage of teeth being, you know, misaligned and, you know, all that other kind of stuff. But then they start to, more teeth start to come in, and eventually they have a full set of teeth. Growing pains can also be growing. There are also different other types of growing pains, but I wanted to just at least give you one example. But there are growing pains even in spiritual growth. For example, obedience is a growing pain. Like I might want to cuss somebody out because they did X, Y, or Z, but because the word says to let no filthy communication proceed out of my mouth, I won't. Instead, I'll administer words of grace, or I'll be silent and I won't respond. On the inside, I might be seething and praying and asking God to help me. My little feelings may have gotten hurt. They probably got hurt, but I make a choice to be obedient and not respond. Or I want to lie on a renewal application because I need what these benefits offer or whatever the case may be. I need the house. I need the apartment. And so I decide to help myself and make a decision to lie in order to get the benefits. But however, a spiritually mature Christian, and this is not to condemn anybody. I'm just giving examples, right? A spiritually mature Christian will make a decision. I'm not going to lie this time. I'm not going to lie this time because, number one, I know that all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. and the word says that if I offend the law in one point, that I'm guilty of all. So I'm going to make a decision to obey the word of God. Gotcha. I'm going to make a decision to show to be obedient. And I'm going to tell the truth. I'm going to tell the truth. And whatever happens, happens. If I lose the benefit, God, I'm going to trust you that you're going to provide for me in a different way. Because maybe what you're doing is cutting the umbilical cord on that. Or I'm just going to trust you. Whatever the outcome is going to be, I'm just going to trust you. I'm going to do what's right. That can be scary. But we make a decision to obey. Because here's the thing. If you're going to bless yourself, God is going to keep his blessings to himself. Because, you know, why should he bless you if you're going to bless yourself? He'll keep them, or he'll give them to somebody else or something along those lines. I'll never forget that I was speaking with a young lady who wanted to be in control of everything. And the Lord said, tell her this. If you're going to be in control of everything, I'm not going to control nothing. Because we're not both going to be in control. Do you get that? If you're going to be in control, I'm just going to stand back, let you have at it. Go ahead. I'll wait. I got all the time in the world because I, God, have, I'm not saying I'm God, right? Don't misunderstand me. But I, God, created time. I created it just for you. I don't need time. That's not how I roll. I don't need it. That was a benefit for you. And that thing hit me. If you're going to do it, why should I bother? It's a waste. Somebody else said that with regards to growth, having or showing emotional or intellectual development appropriate to someone younger. I'm just going to read your, if that's okay. Okay. Somebody muted her. Okay, so this is Aisha. She said, in my spiritual walk, the same as it was 6 months a year ago, if my spiritual tree is not growing, then I need to prune good. I need to prune my tree, cut away the dead so that the healthy limbs can get the spiritual nutrients if needed. I'm sorry if I botched that up. But if you're on mute and you really, really want to speak, hang up and call back in. I don't know why you're on mute. But somebody might have muted you by accident. So at any rate, that's one of the ways that she's, you guys, we need to constantly be, you know, like when you're working out or you're trying to lose weight, you have a way where you consistently measure yourself. Either it's weighing yourself on the scale or taking measurements with a measuring tape. Well, some people, maybe not everybody, but there's a way where you mark your progress. I believe it's important for us to do the same thing with our spiritual walk, to mark our progress. If after, you know, it's been 6 months and you realize that you're still having an issue over the same old thing, it's time to examine yourself to see what's going on. Why am I having the same issue with this particular thing? Why have I not, you know, and it's been a while. Why have I not grown past this? Why is this still an issue? Ask yourself the why question, right? And begin to, and ask God, you know, if you can't, listen, God wants to be included in our lives to the degree where we ask him the why questions. I'm not sure where it came up and how it came along where people said you shouldn't ask God why. Well, how can you be in a relationship with somebody, an intimate relationship with somebody, and you never ask them why? Why is your favorite color X? Why do you like this type of, this genre of music? Why do you like to go here? Why do you like to go there? Why do you do this? That's getting to know a person more intimately.
we should know God intimately enough that we know his character. The way that we know his character is by absolutely reading the word of God, but we also learn his character by asking him questions and allowing him to lead us to the answer. We also get better understanding about asking the why questions about situations that we're in. I have of late especially asked God the why question, and then I'm quiet on purpose. Like I make a quiet date. My electronic devices are off, and in fact, this happened to me, and then I'm going to get ready to wrap it up, you guys, because I have an appointment this morning. So if you do have a comment that you want to make, I'm going to open it up in a few minutes, and I'm going to let you make that comment, and then we're going to go ahead and wrap the call up. But just this week, something happened, and it was pretty alarming, you know, and there's a lot of cleanup work that's going to have to happen as a result of it, but it was pretty alarming, although in a way, not really, because I knew some things. Like Ben, I got confirmation of a particular thing. This week, some things that I have been suspicious by for years that's completely out of my control. At any rate, I remember laying in bed. I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday, something like that. I remember laying in bed saying, God, why did this happen? Where did we miss it? Not from a standpoint of whining. There's whining why. And there's the intellectual why. Like, I want to know so I can improve. I want to know so I can grow. I'm not asking you why just so I can cast blame, right? That's how I'm defining it. But I'll never forget, I was meditating. I hadn't even gotten up yet. And just as I started to drift off. And just as I started to drift off, I heard the Lord whisper to me. And it got my attention. It was a whisper that was so soft that it woke me up. And he whispered the answer to me, and that answer opened me up and allowed me to be able to think and mull over it. And as I began to think about it, he gave me more. He gave me more revelation, and I was like, wow, really? So I'm telling you that if you will get quiet, I know we got all got busy schedules. But you can get quiet. You know how you have that kid that irritates the I don't know what are you, and you just turn them off in your head? Even if you're in a situation where you're at work or you're at home and you need to turn people off because you don't have a quiet place, do that. But if you have a quiet place, you can take refuge in the bathroom or your bedroom or what have you. You can turn the devices off and let people know, I need about 10 minutes. Leave me, you know, don't bother me for the next 10 minutes. I have been so desperate that I've come home, and it was this summer, I came home, I was so desperate for quiet that I told Carl, I was so fragile because of a medical procedure that I'd had, a dental procedure I'd had, and some devastating news that I got. I told Carl, I text Carl, and I said, this is where I am. Can you, this mentally, emotionally, when I get home, can you please leave? Because I felt like I would just either go off on him and it wasn't even his fault, or that I might just completely melt and I needed to be by myself. He never asked me any questions. When I got home, Carl was ready and he left. I told him I only need about an hour or so. And I texted him once I was ready and, you know, he brought me something to eat or whatever and it was okay. I didn't even have the capacity to talk about it. But what I'm saying is sometimes we just need to take advantage of being quiet, sit down before the Lord, kneel down before the Lord, lay down before the Lord, and ask him the why question so that you can. I'm not promising he'll answer you right away, nor that he'll answer, give you the answer that you want. But I do believe that the answer, if you can continue to seek him, because sometimes it's just about you seeking him. I believe that he'll give you the answer. Is there anybody else that has a comment before I get ready to close it out?
Yes, Sister Kanga, Sister Carolyn, thank you so much for your word on today. I did hear your share, but I heard how your synopsis and all the comments, and thank you so much. The spiritual maturity, for sure. It kind of reminds me of Pastor Van Hook, when he spoke at our church about it at Wing, and he spoke on the line about it. And I'm like, man, that question, where are you still?
have you grown up? You know, so that is a challenge to be on today. Me and my word, how I need to fast and feed my word. And thank you for that.
Yes.
And about that control thing, girl, yeah. There's been times I'm like, okay, am I going to try to control it? Or I'm going to give it to the Lord. What am I going to do here? Because I'm frustrated. Yeah. It needs to happen. What am I going to do? Thank you for that reminder. Give it to him because I can't do it anyway. Thank you. Yeah. Love you much. Thank you for the word on today.
Amen. God bless you. So how do we apply? How do we take that and grow? How do we take something that we get and we grow? And again, I want to say that if you found yourself in any of the comments that have been made today, you heard yourself being described, don't beat yourself up. Don't go backwards. Make a decision that this is one of these growing pains. You heard the information so you could do something about it. So what do I do? You make a decision. I'm not going to stay in this place. I'm not going to remain here. I'm going to start to feed myself spiritually, right? So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's one of the ways that you can begin to grow spiritually, by positioning yourself to hear the word of God. One of the ways you can do it is that you yourself can ask God to lead you to what it is that he wants to say, and you can read that word out loud. It might be one scripture. Read it out loud over and over and over. Allow that thing to get inside of you, right? Another way, that thing, the word, to get inside of you so it penetrates your heart and that it becomes alive, right? It becomes alive in you, the word, because the word is not just a bunch of dead words. The word of God is a life. It's alive, excuse me, not a life. It is alive and it's active. The other thing that you can do is that you can position yourself to listen instead of listening to a lot of secular. It's nothing wrong with secular music, but you got to have balance. There's nothing wrong with secular talk shows and stuff like that, but you have to have balance. If you're watching Maury, if he's still on, and you know, a bunch of other crazy reality, silly Wendy and all them shows, maybe you might want to scale back and listen and use that time to watch a YouTube video of somebody that's rooted and grounded in the word. You know, there's so many, Dr. Matthew Stevenson and, you know, oh my God, John Gray and T.D. Jakes and, you know, even Joyce Myers. And there's lots of people that are out there. You can find it if you look for it. You can find what you're looking for. If your church produces, they have an audio ministry and you can download or purchase their CDs. That's another thing. Can you purchase them if they go live during the week? Listen to the, you know, the sermon that or message that was preached during the week. There are lots of different things that you can do to build yourself up spiritually. Primarily, it is making a choice of reducing a lot of the carnal things. What do I mean by carnal? You know, the things that are the natural things that are designed to just entertain us, not really to feed us, right? I'm not saying it's anything wrong with that, but if you are wanting to grow, you're going to need to eat more of the spiritual food than you do the natural. But when you do begin to eat the spiritual food, you want to make sure that there's balance. You don't want to eat so much spiritual food that every word that comes out of your mouth is God bless you and God did this and God told me that. And yes, God speaks to us, but we live in a real world where we interact with believers and unbelievers. And you don't want to vomit on people your spirituality. You know, you want to be wise with it. And so you're going to have to learn what that is. And the only way that you're going to learn is through on-the-job training, on-the-job learning. And so I'm going to stop here. Oh, one other thing. There are books. Doesn't just necessarily have to be the Bible. There are books that can speak to pretty much anything that you are looking for. There's some great books on prayer. There's great books on fasting. We have an incredible manual we were exposed to on forgiveness. And if you have any questions, many of us read books. A book I'd like to recommend is the Psalms 112 Believer by John Eckhart. Eckhardt is the spelling of his last name. You can go to John Eckhart Ministries and get his book, a phenomenal, easy read book. I must have highlighted it and have multicolored sticky tags for that, you know, that thing that stood out for me. And so if you're not sure of good reading, post something in the Victory Room and ask somebody for a good book to read. But again, the book I'm referring to is the Psalm 112 Believer. Great read. With that said, you guys, I got to close because I've got to
post that in the Victory Room as well. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. I will. I absolutely will. I got to close. Huh? Was that somebody else? Okay. So I'm going to just close with a quick word of prayer. Father, we just thank you for all that our ears have heard. We thank you for every person that was impacted by the word of God this morning. And just pray, Lord Jesus, that we will internalize what we heard and that we will apply it to our lives and that we'll begin to grow spiritually. Bless us and those that are at work already, those that are on their way. We pray for those that are at the airport preparing to leave, to go to various destinations or the train station or wherever they might be. Father, we thank you for safe travel. We thank you for blessing them to get to their destination safely and to return. We pray for those that are having medical procedures today or healing from procedures. God, we thank you for the fact that we know that we are healed by your stripes and we totally depend on you, not just because of what we can get from you, but because we love you. And God, we thank you that we make a decision to grow from this day forward. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray and we give thanks. Amen, amen. Don't forget to call back in tomorrow. And for those of you that are able to do so, there is a special lady that's going to be interviewed on High Tea with Bree this morning at 11 a.m. on Freedom Radio. It's an online radio station. We want to support our sister Sabrina, but my very own mom, the Queen, Hazel Marie Walker, will be interviewed along with Ashling Cole. You don't want to miss it at 11 o'clock a.m. Make sure you are positioned to listen to that broadcast. You can actually download the app on your phone, and the app is Freedom, F like Frank, REEDEM radio.com. You can download that app. It's a white F, a yellow D, and a red R in brackets with a red asterisk by it. That's what the icon looks like. You can download the app, and you will be able to click on the button that says Listen Live, and you will be able to hear Sabrina Dion, the Radical Midwife, also known as that, as well as Ashling Cole and my mom, Hazel M. Walker. You'll hear where I get a little of my spice from. Bye, y'all. See you next time.
Bye.
Have a great day, everyone.
Amen.
Peace and love. Have a good day.
Have an awesome day, everybody.